Well, it is my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for this morning, Dr. Andy McQuitty. Dr. McQuitty has been husband to Alice for 40 years now, and they have 5 children and multiple grandchildren. He's a graduate of Wheaton College and Dallas Theological Seminary, and he served as the senior pastor at Irving Bible Church for 31 years. He recently transitioned into a new role as the pastor at large as IBC installed a new senior pastor in January. And Dr. McQuitty and Larry have been in a pastor's group together for almost 20 years. And Dr. McQuitty had pastored for many years in this area before Larry got here. And Larry says, "Andy welcomed me warmly and set the stage for churches and pastors cooperating and befriending one another rather than competing with one another. He's been a great friend and support to me through the years." Would you join me in giving a warm VRBC welcome to Pastor Andy McQuitty?
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you so much. I can't tell you what a privilege and honor it is for me to be here on this august occasion as we celebrate our dear Pastor Larry's 20th anniversary as the senior pastor at VRBC. I've been practicing saying VRBC because normally I just say IBC. This is a whole nother syllable. But Alice and I, my wife, are here today just as great fans of Larry and Gilletta and their family and of this church. So when I received the call a few months ago to come and preach on this occasion, I was so excited. But then the person that was inviting me on the phone said, "Now, Andy, Larry has issued strict instructions for this sermon that you are not to make him the hero, you're to make Jesus the hero." Isn't that spiritual? And I'm going, in my mind, I'm thinking, now wait a second, you're asking me to come preach a 20th anniversary celebration sermon for my dear friend, and I can't make him the hero? I said that in my mind, but to her I said, "Okay." I lied because I wanted to get this gig, because it means that much to me to be here, not just for you, Larry, but for all of you. See, the first group of people that I want to thank and celebrate today is the congregation, the board, and the staff of VRBC. You say, "Why are you doing that on Larry's anniversary?" For this very reason. I learned in 31 years as a senior pastor that it takes a great church to make a great pastor. And if you hadn't been a great church, he wouldn't have been the great pastor that he is today. You have appreciated him, and a lot of churches that have great pastors don't appreciate their pastor. You have followed him, you have blessed him, and I want to thank you, first of all, and I want to ask you to give yourselves a round of applause. Congregation at VRBC. Now, the other request for this sermon was that if I could possibly fit it into the sermon series that you've been doing in the book of Acts. And so I think this is the third week in the Esprit de Corps sermon series from the book of Acts. And so like any good Bible expositor, I was able to go to Acts chapter 3 and eisegete into it a 20-year celebration sermon. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. If you have your Bible, let's look at Acts chapter 3. And what I want to see in Acts chapter 3, in this whole theme of esprit de corps, is how God builds his church as people and leaders who are Jesus-centered people. And whenever we become Jesus-centered people as congregations and as pastors, then God is able to build the kingdom of God in our midst in marvelous and miraculous ways. And in Acts chapter 3, we have a picture of a Jesus-centered leader. His name is Peter. And I'm also going to kind of advocate for the fact that his name is Larry. Because I want us to go into Acts chapter 3 in this series of Esprit de Corps, a Jesus-centered leader. And I want us to find the three characteristics of a Jesus-centered leader as we see played out in Peter. Now, you know, chapter 3 of Acts obviously follows chapter 2 of Acts, the birth of the church, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the launching of the church, 3,000 believers the first day. Peter is the leader of that church. And here on the second day after that, they come to the Temple Mount, Peter and John. And this incident at Temple Mount occurs. And it's just wonderful because I want you to see, as we go through Acts chapter 3, I want you to see the three characteristics of a Jesus-centered leader as exhibited by Peter. The first of those is this. A Jesus-centered leader cares deeply for wounded people living in a broken world. In other words, a Jesus-centered leader, a pastor who is Jesus-centered, cares about people. Look at verse 1 of Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple. This is after the church is born, right? They've got a congregation of over 3,000 people. So they're big-time megachurch pastors right now, okay? One day, Peter and John are going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple called Beautiful. The temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. What do you do when you pull up into the intersections down around Dallas and there's guys with begging for food and coming up to your window? Whenever they come up to your window, do you look straight at them? Or do you do what I'm tempted to do and look out the window? Peter looked straight at him. Peter's a megachurch pastor. He and John, they've got big fish to fry. They're going up to the temple to engage in prayer as leaders. I don't have time for a guy. Or did they? Peter looked straight at him. How compelling. Two pastors from a recently birthed church of over 3,000 people still care about individual wounded people living in a broken world. And that's what Larry does. That's what he has done for 20 years. He is renowned. I don't have to prove this. He is renowned in this congregation and in this city as a pastor who cares deeply for the wounds of people. And no matter how big and complex, how many working parts VRBC has, no matter how many staff, no matter how many meetings, no matter how many spreadsheets and budgets and building programs that Larry has had to deal with, he has never allowed the organization to surpass people in his heart. He's a pastor. He's a pastor. That's essentially the first characteristic of a Jesus-centered leader, is that he issues pastoral care. And Larry, you have done that for 20 years. You have seen to the hurts of your flock, and you have offered pastoral care. And no matter how complex the organization that you are the CEO of becomes, your heart still beats for people. And we celebrate you for that. You have counseled and comforted. You have advised and admonished. You have reconciled and reprimanded. Why? Because you care. You care about helping wounded people. Now, one of the arenas in which pastors of churches demonstrate their pastor's heart for hurting people most, I'm convinced, is at a funeral. And I just want to give an example of Larry at a funeral, because I believe that a funeral reveals a pastor's heart. You go to a funeral and you hear a pastor preaching a funeral, and you can tell what his heart is as a pastor by the way he preaches a funeral, right? Larry has done a whole bunch of funerals over the years here. I've actually participated with him in one that I'll tell you about in just a second. But You probably never knew what was going on inside of him as a pastor when he was preaching a funeral. You probably never knew. But I'm going to tell you today. You say, Pastor Andy, how are you going to tell us what Larry was feeling when he was preaching those pastors and caring for wounded people? Well, I'll tell you a little story. Did you know that Larry and I have written a book together? We have. We got, about 8 chapters with 2 parts, it's like 16 chapters. It's a wonderful book. It came out of a conversation we had one day, I guess about, 10, 12 years ago. And we were driving somewhere together and we were just talking about all the things that were desperately needed for us to know in our pastorate that they never taught us in seminary. I don't know if there's any seminary professors in here, but this is no offense, it's just the truth. The stuff we really need to know to minister and to survive sometimes, we never learned, in a course syllabus at our seminary. And we began to list some topics about, preaching and about doing funerals and about how do you deal with conflict and how do you deal with boards and all that kind of stuff. We wrote all about it. And Larry wrote a bunch of chapters and I responded. I wrote a bunch of chapters and he responded. And one of the chapters of this book, which we call Hobo Pastor. Because, the hobos used to ride the trains and they would leave signs behind them for hobos coming behind, where to find food and where the dogs are and don't go there, they'll arrest you or whatever. Hobo signs. We thought, we're just a couple of old washed up hobo pastors. We're going to leave some signs for young guys coming up. And that's why we wrote this book. And one of the chapters that Larry wrote in that book was him talking about what's going on inside him when he preaches a funeral. And I'm going to read this passage to you, and I want you to see the care in his heart, okay? Here's what Larry writes. For this moment, preaching at the funeral, you are the prophet and the poet, the chronicler and the sage, and you have come to pay witness to the one who swallows up death and doles out hope. You too may be temporarily at least stunned by grief. You too will be filled with your own regrets, your own sorrows, your own questions. You will stand there by the casket and watch one person after another break down, and you will feel it every time. You will stand there when the casket is closed one last time. Suffice it to say, this will not be easy, but God has called you, and His Spirit fills you. And others have mentored you, and your people are praying for you, and this family needs you. Jesus blesses those who mourn and promises that they will be comforted, and He has placed you there in the midst of broken things to point people toward comfort of the healer, the resurrection, and the life. That's Hobo Pastor, unpublished. Can anybody do anything about that? This is going to be a bestseller. We're going to be rich. There was an occasion when Larry and I co-officiated a funeral right here at VRBC for a family from my church, IBC. It's a long story. But Larry was kind of emceeing the whole service, and I preached the message, and we were tag teaming it. But just before we came in here for the service, one of the family members who was grieving came up to us. We were standing right back there between those two doors, and just pulled a fast one on us. Said, we thought it would be a good idea to end the service by having a balloon release outside. And so we sent somebody off. They're getting a whole bunch of balloons. And can you guys just kind of, can you put that in? And of course, you don't say no to a grieving family member. So yes, of course, we'll put that in. And he walked off, and Larry and I are walking in here to start the service. And Larry leans over and a smile on his face. And he says, so how are you fixed with balloon release liturgies right about now? I said, I don't have a clue what I'm going to do. We went through the service, and we're walking out, to this balloon release, you know, this is total surprise for all of us. And you leaned over to me and handed me a note. And in this note, the top line said these words. I still have this note. This is only if you haven't come up with a balloon liturgy yet. And underneath that was a publishable 4-point liturgy of releasing balloons. You know, there was a scripture in there about my lift my eyes, you know, and something about the colorful globes in the heavens, and you know, and I just looked at that and I just cribbed all of it. I said, I went out there and acted like I came up with it. And I got all the glory. We released those globes to the glory of God. So I thought, after all these years, I'd finally give you credit for it. What a pastor's heart, though. Your heart of care for me in that funeral was for me, and I appreciate it. The second characteristic of a Jesus-centered leader is this. A Jesus-centered leader rallies a redeemed people to heal the world. Look at the book of Acts. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter cared about him. He pastored him. He looked at him. Didn't look away from him. Then he helped him up. If I was just preaching this passage straight and not as part of Larry's celebration, you know what my title would have been? The man who asked for alms and got legs. He asked Peter and John, "Give me money. Give me alms." They helped him up through the power of the Holy Spirit. God healed that man through them. Peter helped him up. Peter there with John, representing the rest of the church, God's people, creating wonder and amazement in the world by allowing God to heal the world through them. You know, that's what the church is supposed to do. We are a redeemed, healed people. And the wonder and amazement that should flow through our lives to the world, bring them healing as well. That's what the church is all about. But it takes a leader like Peter to stop and help. It takes a Jesus-centered leader to create wonder and amazement in the world by allowing God to heal the world through the people that he leads. That's what Larry has done here. All these years at VRBC, he has had a vision to value, love, and serve the community all around us, to rally the redeemed of VRBC, to be exhibit A to a questioning world about the veracity of the gospel. You preached a very memorable sermon here a few years ago, Larry. I bet you all remember it. Apparently, you have a creek back here behind your campus. And Larry did a sermon comparing the creek behind your campus here to the Jordan River. I love this. This is wonderful. And he challenged the whole church to cross the Jordan and go where God is leading you. What a great Old Testament metaphor for mobilizing the church to rallying the redeemed, to go and allow God to bring wonder and amazement to a world with the healing that he wants to enact through our healed lives. And you've gone across that stream. You have crossed the Jordan River. Just a few examples. The amazing mentoring program that you all have at Tom Landry Elementary. I just applaud you all for that. But you led it. Your ESL program here, it's in your bulletin today. I was looking for it. Wonderful way to minister to men and women, boys and girls, in a practical way that will change their lives. Your Christmas store that you started, Larry. Every year, hundreds of VRBCers ministering to over 1,000 people and giving them not just Christmas gifts, but giving them Christmas hope and love. Those are just a few of the many examples of where the leadership of your pastor has rallied the troops here to make an impact on a whole community. That's a wonderful thing. And you know what we all love about you most with regard to that, Larry? With regard to your leadership in rallying us together to make an impact in this community in practical ways. You know what we love most about you in that? Is that you don't even know you did it. John Hewlett, associate pastor, writes these words about Larry's leadership. Larry is one of the most sincerely humble, happily third leaders around. His consistent convictions to make Jesus the hero, not only in his preaching, but also in his leadership, has had a tremendous impact on our staff and on our church. And I would just add to that, John, on our church at IBC and on our community at Irving and all around. Thank you for being a great pastor, Larry. Thank you for being an effective leader. Well, I got 4 minutes and 23 seconds left, so let's get through this thing. I thought I would escape a countdown timer when I came over here, but no. Does this go to red whenever it gets to zero, like at our place? The third characteristic of a Jesus-centered leader: a Jesus-centered leader connects God's good news with broken hearts. In other words, he preaches real good. Verse 11, Acts 3, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. In other words, what does Peter do? He sees the man and has compassion for him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he heals him and helps him up. And then with the gathering crowd coming with awe and amazement, he preaches the gospel to them. He connects their hearts with the good news that has been displayed in the healing of this man. That's what preachers are supposed to do. That's what Peter did. That's what Larry does all the time. Not only that, but I want to congratulate on your book. You all didn't know that your senior pastor published a major book last year. It's called An Easy Stroll Through a Short Gospel, Meditations on the Book of Mark. That's one way that Larry has taught the gospel. Now, to go around the whole world, congratulations on that. That's a big deal. But the main way you've done it is by preaching. Larry, we tried to figure out how many times you preached around here. We estimate 800 weekends in 1,600 services through 20 years. Add to that 75 or so funerals, 100 weddings or so, and about 150 other occasions. We calculate that you have preached here 2,000 times. How did we all survive it? I don't even know. 2,000 times opening the word, connecting hearts that are broken with the good news of the gospel. done that 2,000 times. That's pretty incredible. But it's even more incredible if you know what's going on inside of him when he preaches. And I have another excerpt from the as yet unpublished hobo pastor. Larry writes these words about preaching. I am actually relieved when I finally ascend the stage and stand behind the pulpit. Now is the time to apply the salve of redeeming grace. Now is the time to unleash the word of God and to let God do what God does. Preaching is magnificent. Are you reading ahead? Preaching is a magnificent nightmare. As I drive home after, I'm hit with regrets. Why did I zig instead of zag, homiletically speaking? Why did my voice choke up when sharing that personal story? Why didn't my voice have more passion? Did I speak as a dying man to dying men, as one Puritan put it so well? Or did I just give an interesting little religious talk? Sunday afternoons can be a real nightmare. And that's true. But no matter, I tell myself as Sundays draw to a close, there's always next week. It's impressive that he's preached over 2,000 times here. What's even more impressive is that he went through that agony every time he did. There's one occasion when you were preaching, Larry, here that touches my heart. It kind of brings all these streams together, being a pastor and a leader and a preacher. For many years here, you all at VRBC had a wonderful custodian couple, the Packs, Mr. Pack, Mrs. Pack. They did not come from a faith background, and so they were working here at the church. They loved all the people here. You loved them, but they didn't have faith. Until Mr. Pack came down with cancer. He started into the grueling series of treatments. And over the course of several months, he began to show up here to hear Larry preach. That went on for several weeks, even a couple of months, until one Sunday, Larry was up here preaching from the pulpit. And in the middle of his sermon, Mr. Pack just got up from his seat in the back and he walked slowly forward right down the aisle and stood right in front of Larry. I mean, this is in the middle of his sermon. How many of you were here when this happened? You know this. He stood right here in front of Larry in the middle of his sermon. Now, you talk about awkward moments in a service. I mean, we all have to deal with it from time to time. But Larry's just preaching along, and it's like, here's Mr. Pack. And so what does a leader do? What does a person who cares do? Larry, you turned to the congregation after Mr. Pack arrived up here, and you said these simple words, "Would you excuse me for just a minute? I'm going to pray with my friend, Mr. Pack." And you stepped down off the thing, and you prayed with him. You hugged him. And you climbed back up on here, and he went back, and you finished your sermon. You went overtime, but you finished your sermon. It wasn't many weeks after that that Mr. Pack was baptized. So today, we honor our heaven-sent, Jesus-centered leader, Dr. Larry Parsley, for 20 wonderful years of ministry as a caring pastor, as an effective leader, and as an amazing preacher. And Larry, I just want to say to you today, on behalf of all of us, we will never forget. But I have an even better promise than that. It's God's promise. And it's written in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. God will not forget your work and the love you have shown him and how you have helped his people and continue to help him. God will not forget. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are a grateful people today that you sent us the gift of a Jesus-centered leader 20 years ago who has cared for us and pastored us, who has led us, and who has shared the gospel with us through his preaching in ways that transform not only our lives, but the whole life of our church and lives in our community and lives around the world. We are grateful today, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.